Welcome to Sage's Perspectives on the Future Conference 2019. We have the honor of being here with Professor Peter Stone from the Department of Computer Science at the University of Texas. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you.
Perhaps we should start off, Peter, by clarifying some of the confusion that seems to exist sometimes between what is really AI and machine learning and the difference between the two and how perhaps it's evolved over the last few years.
Yeah, it's a relatively complicated question. Historically, machine learning has been a sub-area of artificial intelligence, and that if you would go to the artificial intelligence conferences, you would find, you know, sort of some topics on machine learning, but then some on other things as well. And that was really the lay of the land when I started in the research area about 25 years ago. Nowadays, there are many people who have come to the area of machine learning without having started within artificial intelligence. And so there's been some more confusion a little bit that, you know, some people think of them being as totally separate. There's people who've come from the world of statistics into machine learning. But I think there's more of a convergence coming back again. But I'm very much a big tent view of artificial intelligence, that there's a lot of different technologies. Machine learning is today one of the most sort of exciting and populous in terms of people focused on it, but definitely not all artificial intelligence is learning based.
Now, you've been working in this space for, I believe you said, 25 years or close to it. Remarkable advances in that period of time. Where do you see the greatest sort of like short term opportunity for AI and machine learning in our everyday lives?
Oh, in our everyday lives, there's many. And that's, you know, that was sort of the focus of the 100-year study in artificial intelligence, the first study panel report that we put out in 2016, that AI technologies are really pervading and have the opportunity to pervade our daily lives in areas such as healthcare, transportation, public safety, and many others. We picked sort of eight different sectors to focus on in the AI 100 study. You know, I think there's a sort of a history of artificial intelligence where there's, you know, sort of developments and technologies that are developed in the research community that then get, you know, sort of ripe for application and do have an influence. One thing that then starts to happen is that they become seen as sort of commonplace and then are no longer considered artificial intelligence. That they're now, oh, that's not artificial intelligence, that's just a smart dishwasher. And, you know, so artificial intelligence in some ways is one of the tongue-in-cheek definitions is that it's trying to get computers to do the things they can't do yet. But once they can do them, now it's engineering. You know, there's many opportunities for the things that people are working on today in areas like robotics manipulation, natural language processing, perception, to make it out there into the, you know, into the general public and to have impact in the commercial world. There's also many examples of things that used to be research problems that are now sort of squarely within that public use profile. And then there's also things that people are just thinking about now to do research on in the AI community, and that, you know, that may end up being the next big thing. It's a very much fluid field.
During your presentation, you talked about the evolution towards continual learning, and perhaps you could enlighten us in terms of what that journey is and what continual learning is.
Yeah, so it's actually the focus of my startup company, Cogitai. My co-founder, Mark Ring, coined the term continual learning in his PhD thesis from UT Austin back in the 1990s. But the idea is that, you know, that just like in our lifetime, and as humans, we sort of have one long extended lifetime where every experience solving a problem contributes to the ability to solve the next problem. And, you know, much is made in the media and, you know, about how, well, yes, Deep Blue could beat Garry Kasparov, but it didn't know how to, you know, cook a pot of spaghetti or something like that, right? That every problem was, and every machine learning problem was sort of focused on a particular type of a single task. Continual learning is more about being able to you know, have an ongoing incoming stream of tasks, just like we do as people, and to get better and better at solving new things, new problems as they're presented to us.
Are there any opportunities for scalability in terms of AI technology, or is every situation different, requiring programming from scratch? Or can you see in a few years' time that there'll be modules that you could use as basic building blocks towards creating solutions, speeding time to market for AI, for example?
Well, I mean, certainly there's modularity, and that's one of the core principles of computer science as a whole, is that you should, you know, program things in a way that's modular, that can be reused. And that's true of artificial intelligence as well. There are, you know, a neural network that's able to train on image classification can be repurposed to be used for natural language processing, oftentimes not immediately right out of the box, with maybe some changes to the, you know, to the way the problem is presented or to the way the software works. There's absolutely room for modularity and you know, sort of scalability in that sense. But, you know, this sort of mythical notion of like, you know, super intelligence that can just do anything magically, you know, all at once, no matter what you give it, that's still, you know, that we're nowhere near within the a technology that can do that.
How about the pace of innovation? How do you see the next 10 years compared to, say, the previous 10 years in terms of the rate of change at which technology is being developed and adopted?
Within the field of artificial intelligence, there's been, really, it's been one of the most exciting decades ever in the case, you know, in the sense of success stories and milestones that have been reached. From the public point of view, it often looks like huge breakthroughs. From where I sit, that, you know, it's more that there's milestones or landmarks that have been reached as a result of long years of incremental, steady improvement. I feel like, you know, the pace of advancement is certainly accelerating, just because of the fact that there's more money being invested in artificial intelligence. There's more people who are going into it, and, you know, students who are interested in it. And so, just by virtue of having more you know, sort of resources, both human and capital resources, then that's going to you know, speed up the progress. But it's not a, you know, I think, you know, the story of artificial intelligence is very much a gradual progress, steady progress by the field as a whole. And it's great to see that that's, you know, that there's resources for that to continue now. You know, it's much harder to predict whether the pace of, you know, sort of these high profile landmarks and milestones will be reached and which ones will fall. That's to me less relevant than just the, you know, the long march of progress.
Is it all incremental, or are there one or two big specific problems that need to be cracked to take it forward?
There are big problems.
Challenges,
but usually it is putting together technologies and that have been around for a while and just getting them over the hump where, you know, people had. I mean, you know, deep learning is really, you know, the evolution of neural networks, which has been studied by a community of people within the AI, within the field of AI for decades. It didn't just suddenly magically burst onto the scene. It's something that people have been studying, trying to scale up, trying to get the amount of computation and data that are needed to really see the practical performance, and then it did sort of reach there in a very high profile kind of way. So, you know, from my point of view, I don't know if incremental is the right word. That's sometimes used as a derogatory term for research, but it's more that steady, focused progress through long effort of many people. And I think, you know, that's likely to be the story moving forwards as well, is inspired by big problems, but not like a single aha moment of now we're turning the world on its head. It's more that, you know, all the pieces come together, we figure out how to do it a little more efficiently until eventually you get to that tipping point where a problem that was previously unsolvable is now solvable.
And finally, the investment in AI and machine learning, is that filtering through to the academic world in terms of additional monies coming in, more of a focus, more people coming, more students coming into that sector?
Absolutely. There's a huge increase in students. And there's also, you know, I mean, there's certainly focus from industry funding, so funding research. And also the National Science Foundation recently, in a, you know, very exciting development, put out a call for proposals for national AI institutes. So really, both public and private funding is focusing in a complementary way on different aspects of artificial intelligence. The biggest challenge from a sort of resource point of view is that a lot of the the educators and researchers from academia have been lured away to industry, and then makes it difficult to educate this greater demand of students who are trying to get into the field, which is sort of a, you know, hopefully a short-term crisis, but we are, you know, we're also finding some, you know, some young and, you know, more idealistic faculty who are really, you know, want to be a part of the solution and want to educate the next generation. And so we've been fortunate at UT Austin to hire some really fantastic young professors. And but it is a struggle nationwide right now to find enough faculty members to educate the next generation. And that's something that we really need to focus on as a field.
Professor Peter Stone, thank you very much.
My pleasure.